So there's an old saying. I don't know who started it, but I've used it many times. The saying goes, bad news doesn't get better with time. It's true. I mean, that thing you don't want to deal with is often just getting worse because you've chosen not to deal with it. And there are times, I admit, there are times when a tactical pause may be necessary on the battlefield or time to catch your breath and regroup for the next fight. There's times when patience and deliberate action may seem to some like you're doing nothing when in fact all you're doing is laying the conditions for success. But generally speaking, when you see a bad situation unfolding in front of you and the folks in charge are failing to address it, what you really have is just pearl clutching and hand wringing. There it is. Pearl clutching and hand wringing. Crisis is rarely ever avoided because someone dithered. You know what I'm saying? And that's exactly what we're seeing on far too many college campuses across the nation. Student activists and outside agitators are being allowed to take over, literally take over, campus grounds and facilities, many of which are state universities paid for with hard-earned taxpayer dollars. The amount of physical damage that has been done at places like Portland State University and UCLA and Columbia and University of Chicago and more is estimated in the tens of millions of dollars. And that's not including the amount of lost time and productivity, the loss to the education environment that many students paid for but never got now as they were blocked from entering their campuses, or the cost to the local and state departments, police departments, who had to respond to the emergencies and then divert their resources. Look, we're looking at a staggering overall cost directly attributed to these events, some of which are still ongoing, reaching into potentially the hundreds of millions of dollars. Why? Why did it take so long to respond? Because the people in charge of these institutions often have no real leadership experience. They have long careers in tenured academia, but they've never had to run a business or lead troops or scratch out a living in a competitive environment, and they apparently have never had to face the consequences of their own inactivity. Again, bad news does not get better with time. When the enemy is allowed to dig in, fortify, organize, regroup, and then the enemy becomes entrenched, the ability to defeat that enemy becomes more costly. At the U.S. Army Maneuver Center, down in Fort Benning, well, Fort Moore now, they teach infantry and armor students the art of war, the art of decision-making and leadership in times of duress. They teach the attack, but they also teach the counterattack. It is a given that the enemy will have a say on the battlefield. That's the way of warfare. If there's no enemy, there's no war, right? But when there is a war, the enemy will do its part to win as much as we will. So the soldiers of the U.S. Army are taught the art of war, which by necessity includes having to counterattack when an enemy has just taken ground. The doctrinal statement for when to conduct the counterattack says, to be decisive, the counterattack occurs when the enemy is overextended, dispersed, and disorganized during his attack. Let me translate that. What it means is when the enemy attacks and takes some of your ground, the best time to counterattack them is before they've had a chance to settle in. Immediate decisive action. Catch them while they're still winded, before they set up, before they build their fortifications and bring in reinforcements. Don't dither. Don't clutch your pearls. Don't wring your hands. Grab your men, make your plan, spot the enemy's weak points, and then move in. The campuses who have sustained the most damage, they did not do that. Protesters took over whole buildings. They brought in supplies. They set up tents. They organized themselves. Outside agitators came in and reinforced them and gave them well-seasoned bad advice. Their mood got more and more rancorous as they began to feel sort of high and mighty, as if they could make demands and expect them to be followed. They took what wasn't theirs. No one could stop them, apparently. And they dug in. They built walls. And they set up tents. And the administrations dithered, wrung their hands, clutched their pearls. But look, here's what also happens when battlefield decisions are delayed unnecessarily. People get hurt, that's what. Even get killed. At UCLA, where the damage has been seen in the aftermath to have reached epic levels, a group of several hundred counter-protesters showed up. Why? Well, because they were incensed that these anti-American property-damaging punks were being allowed to continue their anti-American property-damaging actions fully unabated. Unabated, like nobody doing a thing. The police were nowhere to be found because the administration had asked the police to back off. So in the absence of battlefield leadership, things got out of hand. They escalated into a large-scale gang fight. Protesters met up with vigilantes because there was a vacuum of leadership. And every vacuum eventually gets filled by something else. In the case of UCLA, that vacuum was filled for a while with people who had just had enough and took matters into their own hands. So lawlessness begat violence. It's what happens when pearl clutching and hand wringing are the order of the day. But honestly, not everywhere. Not in every state. In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis made short work out of protests on the campus of the University of Florida. They took ground, and Florida counterattacked right away, and life returned to normal pretty quickly. Imagine that. In Mississippi, Governor Tate Reeves issued a no-nonsense statement that put the world on notice. He said this. Here's his quote. He said, quote, "I'm aware of today's scheduled protest on the campus of Ole Miss. Mississippi law enforcement is also aware, and they are prepared. Campus police, city, county, and state assets are being deployed and coordinated. We will offer a unified response with one mission. Peaceful protests are allowed and protected, no matter how outrageous those protesters may seem to the rest of us. But unlawful behavior will not be tolerated. It will be dealt with accordingly. Law and order will be maintained." Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Governor Tate Reeves over Mississippi. Yes, sir. And on the campus of Ole Miss, knowing that they had the backing of their governor, a host of students showed up and sang the national anthem so loud the pro-Palestinian protesters couldn't even be heard. I'll play you that audio later. Look, good people are out there. They just want to know that law and order will be the rule of the day. They want to know that their leadership will not abandon them to the thugs and the punks and the agitators who have no other mission in life except to claim to be victims while also victimizing others. See, dithering leads to damage. Hand-wringing leads to hard knocks. Pearl-clutching leads to public humiliation. There's a time for patience, to be sure, but when life, limb, and property are at risk, there is no need for calculated action. The time for counterattack is right there on the front end. Bad news does not get better with time. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, you can look at the leadership in some states and on some campuses, and you can tell the ones who are willing to take steps that are uncomfortable. They don't sit around wringing their hands. They don't make excuses. They don't dither. They don't try to bargain. They don't look for the means to de-escalate those children, because they're not children. They're punk adults. And they're tearing up your campus, and you're in charge of it. So by God, do something. Wringing your hands and clutching your pearls. Bad news does not get better with time. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.